ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Australia is famous, or some might say notorious, in the world as being the home of 20 of the 25 most venomous snakes, including, of course, the inland taipan. But snake bite fatalities are practically negligible here compared to the rest of the globe. We only get one or two per year on average. World Health Organization figures, however, show that perhaps 125,000 people die because of snake bites in a given year, and three times as many have amputations and other permanent disabilities caused by snake bites. Indeed, in 2017, the World Health Organization made the landmark decision to list snake bite envenoming as a Category A neglected tropical disease in response to the numbers of snake bites becoming what they thought was something of a global catastrophe. I suppose love them or loathe them, and many people do. Snakes are, of course, a vital part of our ecosystems. Indeed, all snakes in Australia are protected. New research into the incidence of snake bites and the global snake population point to declines in many key snake species, but also concurrently the incidence of snake bite attacks is on the rise. Dr. Christina N. Zdenek is an ecologist, a herpetologist, snake expert and conservation biologist, and co-owner and coordinator of the Australian Reptile Academy. Christina, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Terrific to have you with us too. Have you ever been bitten by a snake?
Oh, goodness. Yes, what? I have. You know, having a...
what?
Yeah, it's bound to happen when, you know, it's kind of your career. We are humans and we do make mistakes. And unlike if you were a plumber and you get a bit of a leak and you can quickly just tighten that up, with snake bite, it's a little bit more serious. But, you know, it does come with the territory. And I guess eventually we all sort of, who are in this industry long enough, come undone. And for me, it's only been once in 20 years.
Tell me what happened. What kind of snake was it?
Oh, it was a type of brown snake. So that's the genus Pseudoniam. Yeah, it's one of the quote unquote bad ones.
They're the bad ones.
Yeah, this genus of snakes, this group of snakes, is the one responsible. It's the most medically significant group of snakes in Australia. Mm-hmm. And this is the one from the Perth area, so the Jugite.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was bitten by that. I was, you know, it was fair enough. The snake thought that I was trying to kill it. I was trying to extract venom, and that was during my PhD.
Yeah. Ugh, okay. Eon, you're still with us, Christina. So therefore,
yes. As most snake bites happen in Australia, we are, I guess, pretty lucky, counterintuitively, when it comes to snakes in Australia. And one of the reasons being that we are very well equipped with high quality antivenom and good access to that antivenom.
Which you had, I presume. Yeah.
Well, they were on the verge of giving it to me, but they thought, oh, well, you're young and fit. Let's see if you can just work through it, okay? I had some issues with blood clotting and heart rate. My heartbeat was really low. But no, they end up withholding that.
Okay.
And it worked out in the end, obviously.
In Australia, I mean, I don't know whether we get – I'm very glad you've come through to the other side, Christina. In Australia, it's thought that around 3,000 people a year get bitten, is it? I mean, I don't know how reliable these stats are.
Yeah, look, that figure's actually from 1998, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the trouble, but you're right, that is the most updated figure that we do have. Unfortunately, I don't know, with snakes, we're just so chronically underfunded as snake researchers. And so there's not a lot of snake research that does get done in this country. And a lot of what does get done, and certainly most of what I've done, is off the back of our own volunteer and personal funds. Like, I've personally funded, along with some volunteers and their time, multiple snake projects. And they're all just heavily sought after by the public. So it's a bit ironic. Yeah. And the media goes nuts for every single one of them.
Of course.
But I guess the point I'm trying to make, we do know that, like you said before, we do have a very low rate of snake bite deaths in Australia. So 2 to 3 individuals on average per year. And if you compare that to car accidents, it's actually 400 times you're more likely to be killed in a car wreck than you are from a snake bite. And yet most people get into a car, no worries at all. So really it's the fear that drives a lot of people's actions when it comes to snakes, not the actual facts.
Yeah. Even though we are home to, well, I mentioned the inland taipan, which I think is the most venomous snake in the world, isn't it? Isn't it more venomous than a cobra?
Yes, on mice in a lab. And that's as best as we can get. But you're right. It takes the least amount of venom from that species to kill the most amount of lab rats.
Yeah. But I suppose the reason, you know, people encounter snakes, but not so much, really. Is that the reason why fatalities are so low?
Well, there's a number of factors. If you look at the inland taipan, they live where people don't really live.
Go,
so they're out in the Channel Country, Western Queensland, and the cracking soils is like, you know, no vegetation out there and not much for humans to do. It's really only enthusiasts who've ever been bitten. So we actually get a bit of snake tourism in Australia. It would be fantastic if someone did a study and quantified the economic value of that to our economy, but it's certainly on the rise. And anyway, the only people who've really been bitten by inland taipans are people who either own them as pets or those who have gone out into the bush to try to find a wild one and learn a bit more about it, and they've come unstuck because the snake's defending itself when, you know, someone grabs it by the tail. And they're very quick and fast, agile, gracile species. But look, no one's actually died from the inland taipan in Australia. So it goes to show our first aid, that stretchy compression bandage and immobilization as well, standing still, just like our First Nations Indigenous elders all knew what to do and told everyone. So that is really what keeps people, gives them that length of time they need to get to hospital.
All right, that's still the best first aid, is it? Compression bandage and keep still.
Yeah, it's called pressure immobilization technique. Yeah. Absolutely, and it's not a tourniquet.
That is for a
shark bite.
Yeah. It's not a tourniquet.
Yeah, when you're losing excessive blood to a limb, then that's a tourniquet. We have a really tight bit of cord or something like a belt around one particular part of the limb, but this is just a stretchy bandage like you would over a sprain for a sprained wrist, and you just do it up the whole limb, and it just compresses the lymphatic flow, which is where the venom is initially, until it gets to the lymph node, and then that's where it dumps into the bloodstream, and that's what you're trying to slow or prevent, so you can buy yourself time to get to hospital for that anti-venom treatment if it is indeed required.
Oh, is that right? So when a snake bites you, the venom doesn't necessarily go into your bloodstream straight away. It goes into the lymph system, does it?
That's right, particularly in Australia. And this is largely because most of our snakes have very small fangs. And so it's pretty superficial envenomation. As opposed to overseas, when you get things like vipers and you can get, you know, 20 millimeter long fangs or even up to 5 centimeters. for a puff adder, a gaboon viper rather. But anyway, they have shifting, pivoting fangs that can come out, whereas ours in Australia are lapid snakes. They're fixed. And so because they can't hinge, they are restricted in size. And that means that even wearing a bit of PPE, some, you know, good pair of boots and pants can really help save you or prevent or reduce the amount of venom that actually enters into your body. Okay. But it's also the reason why compression works really well in this country. The other factor is that a lot of the snake venoms here in this country, what the composition is made up of, it's really systemic type toxins, proteins and peptides, as opposed to local effective ones. So ones that are more cytotoxic and just burst open cells and create a lot of necrosis at the bite site, like you would get in America with the rattlesnakes, for instance, or vipers overseas in Asia and Africa. You know, our species, they're very rarely cause local effects. And so therefore you want to keep it in the limb. And then the opposite is the case in America. You want to drain it so you're less likely to get all that destructive local, locally effective venom activity. Mm. Snake bite first aid changes depending on where you are in the world, and that's because the venom composition in the snakes change.
That's interesting. Do snakes, as a rule in Australia, do snakes come after you, or do they only react if you step on them or try and pick them up?
Oh, my goodness. Great question. Snakes, by default, are cowards. They are super vulnerable to predation by predators such as humans or anything else like a raptor, a dog, cat, right? Anything. They're so vulnerable that they just want to hide. That's their default position. And when they have to go out, it's when they're hunting. And thank goodness they do this because they're keeping rats and mice at bay. They're on natural 24/7 free vermin controllers, which is, of course, controlling disease like the hantavirus and anything else that rats carry. But they're just trying to eke out a living. And if they encounter us, they will try to make themselves, I guess their first position is to hide. And then secondly, if the threat continues, then they might try to make you aware of their presence so that you can back away. And the different species do this in different ways. But one way might be to hiss, they exhale, really. And another way might be to go into an S position and they elevate the first third of the body, like Eastern brown snakes, our most infamous snake. So they've got aposematic coloration. This is bright coloration, these orange spots on their belly. And as soon as they lift up, it's meant to give you a spook and scare the predator, us, so that you get on, they get you on the back foot so that then they can escape to their local shelter site.
But they're not coming after you. That's...
Look, if someone tries to kill a snake, they will absolutely defend themselves. Yeah. The only way they can do that really is to bite. And a lot of the bites are because people are trying to kill a snake or if they try to remove it themselves from the house instead of eliciting the, a snake catcher, who is trained in handling our very fast and venomous snakes. And look, a snake would... definitely try to, they would interpret that as possibly something trying to eat them or kill them. Yeah. So if you stand still and you give them space, you'll absolutely avoid getting a bite.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. That's really timely advice, it must be said. Okay. I mean, I mentioned that all snakes in Australia are protected, and that's true, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely they are, we would be in a lot of trouble.
So don't go out there. Don't go out there killing them.
No, and that's when you're at most at risk from snake bite.
Yeah,
it increases your chances. There was a paper that showed by like 55% if you're trying to handle or kill a snake. So, and we absolutely need them amongst us because. Sure. If we cannot learn to coexist with snakes, then we will be overrun by rodents. And you know what? This is a real problem, not only for disease for humans, but also our pet cats and dogs, when it comes to ticks, paralysis ticks, but also farmers. Right? There was a paper that came out by, of course, Professor Rick Shine a few years ago. I reviewed the paper for the journal, actually, and it showed that farmers, they are hundreds of millions of dollars more profitable because of snakes. And that's, if you think about the ecology of snakes, they can actually go down into the burrows and eat breeding female rats and mice. And so if you keep snakes on your property, of course, if they're in the house, you're going to have to remove them. But otherwise, you keep them on your property or on the farm, then they are preventing damage from rats and mice. And we were hearing about in WA, the mouse plague. Well, if they had old growth trees to support owls and if they didn't remove or kill snakes, I'm sure they'll be better off.
Yeah, that's right. Don't go out and try and kill them. Just give them a wide berth. Seems to be.
That's it. They're often just passing through. If you can identify it's a python, a python in the shed is a gift. And that's how we should be viewing these snakes in Australia because they are going to keep the possum populations down, which in some areas could be too great or unnaturally large because of, human influence. They get access to our bins and all these calories, can have all the babies. And snakes keep them in check.
Good on you. All right, Christina, it's been terrific to talk. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.